start the work session at 6 o'clock. Where's Al? Oh, Al wanted to go over this timber tree, or timber banks. We'll go and get him, but. Grab him.
Did you see Al there?
He just walked out the other door.
Good.
He's here.
Yeah, I know he's here. Oh, is he? Okay. Because he wanted to go over this thing first. The timber banks. You're up.
All right. Does everybody have their map for Timberbanks for GPP Amendment 5? Glad I ran to the copier to print these.
Yeah, I got.
I do not.
I don't have a. I don't have a colored one. I got a black and white one.
Okay. Got the cheap version.
Yeah. Well, I'll take a couple of those.
Thank you.
And this is part two of Seeker that I'll hand out now. So we just got to, you guys have done these before. We have to, in this case, it's really a formality. I think we may have been able to get away without doing Seeker for this because land use changes within the GPP are specifically encouraged and allowed as part of our zoning code. But rather than risk it, we'll give you rather than risk it, we'll just, it only takes 5 minutes to do it. So, the proposed action changes ...155,595 square feet of high density apartment area to 38,632 square feet of high density residential single family. 80,887 square feet of community recreation area that they're going to use for tennis courts and pool, and 35,976 square feet of open space and conservation areas. So overall, the proposal actually is less density than what would have been allowed under the current use. If you look at the map, the area in question goes from the hatched pink area, the cross-hatched diagonal pink area, is shortened to the east. The east end of that is shortened up. Part of that becomes community recreational. Part of that becomes high-density residential townhouses, and some more green space along the edge of the golf course. So part two of Seeker, we just have to go through and answer these questions.
If I could just ask, this looks really nice. What is all that open and conservation area?
It's just rough on the golf course, quite honestly.
It's what?
Rough on the golf course.
Oh, it is.
So where are the apartments today, if I'm looking at this map?
They would be on the...
They would be right here.
They'd be on the west end of that, yes. No, they're pink hatched there.
Right here?
Pink, yep. This... So here's,
I'm just trying to.
This is Timberbanks Parkway.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's right here.
Yeah.
So that's Timberbanks Parkway coming in.
Yeah. Okay.
The current apartments are situated right here.
Yep.
This is a new road that they actually just started construction on a little bit ago, that crosses over to behind the YMCA.
Yep.
So when we change the density, what does it do to the tax liability and the ability to maintain these roads? Can you give me those numbers?
Well, nothing actually.
So it's still flat?
It's still flat, and here's why. The previously, when the high density residential apartment use was added to the land use plan as part of GPP amendment number two, they restricted the maximum number of units that could be built in high-density residential apartments. And they built every single unit that they were allowed with what's standing there now. Mm-hmm. So in this case, we're actually increasing the number of units that can be along that road frontage that connects Timberbanks Parkway to Tall Tree Lane behind the YMCA. So in that regard, I guess it would be a net positive in the number of units that would be fronting that roadway.
So more apartments behind the Y now?
No, no more apartment. There's never been apartments behind the Y.
No, well, now there's going to be apartments behind the Y?
No.
Not yet.
No. The road that connects Timberbanks Parkway to Tall Tree Lane, the road behind the YMCA.
Okay.
So that road,
yep.
We're going to have some additional residential units on that road.
Right.
Immediately east of the Hammocks Apartments.
Okay.
So part two of the short environmental assessment form that I handed you guys, we'll just go through the questions. Question number one, will the proposed action create a material conflict with an adopted land use plan or zoning regulations? No, this is allowed. It's PUD. These are all existing land uses within the PUD. Everybody agree? Yep. Will the proposed action result in a change in use or intensity of use of land? Actually, it would be a reduced intensity in the use of land because we're not putting apartments there. It's single family townhouses and open space and community recreation areas. So I would say no. Does everybody agree to that question?
Yeah.
Yes.
Will the proposed action impair the character or quality of the existing community? No. Any disagreement?
Yep.
Will the proposed action have an impact on the environmental characteristic that caused the establishment of a critical environmental area? We don't have any critical environmental areas in the town of Lysander, so that's a no. Will the proposed action result in any adverse change in the existing level of traffic or affect existing infrastructure for mass transit, biking, or walkway? Being that we're only putting single family houses here and it could have been developed as apartments previously, I would say it would be a no to small impact. Everybody agree?
Yep.
Will the proposed action cause an increase in the use of energy? Nope. And it fails to incorporate reasonably available energy conservation or renewable energy opportunities? No. Will the proposed action impact existing A, public-private water supplies, B, public-private wastewater treatment utilities? The utilities in the development are sized for the number of homes that are proposed. The maximum number of homes proposed does not change with this proposal, so no. Will the proposed action impair the character or quality of historic, archaeological, architectural, or aesthetic resources? No. Will the proposed action result in an adverse change to natural resources, e.g. wetlands, water bodies, groundwater, air quality, flora, fauna? Right now, this is all just vacant land that has been disturbed, so it is a no. Will the proposed action result in an increase in the potential for erosion, flooding, or drainage problems? No, there is a stormwater pollution prevention plan, and any increases in runoff will be mitigated through that stormwater pollution prevention plan, so that would be a no. And will the proposed action create a hazard to environmental resources or human health? The answer to that would be a no. So with that being said, after the board passes the second seeker resolution on the agenda, the supervisor can sign the second page of this, and the town clerk will file it with the New York State DEC.
Okay.
Just so you know, this map, there is one slight change on this map from when you saw it the last time. We got a call from a resident on Patchett Road that was very concerned that the map did not specify that the access to Patchett Road was for emergency vehicles only. The old map did not state that either, but it is in the text of the general project plan, so we just added a note to the map to further memorialize that so we don't get any further questions in the public hearing about it.
Is there another form that I have to sign that's more of an original, or is this one all right, or what?
Yeah, this one's all right. Okay. This one's all right, yep.
So all these are no's?
Just all those are no's, and yep. Then on the second page, we got to
yep.
Put in the name of the town and mm-hmm. Your name and title and a signature.
So I'm fine with this. I just more curiosity than anything else. What's this? There's no roads going to this marina and
Well, no, there's a road there already. It is not reflected on the map because it's surrounded by the golf course.
So the golf course runs right through this, is that?
It goes, yeah, it comes right here, and then the clubhouse is obviously gonna be right there. Goes all the way down, there's a road.
Leaves and brush pickup?
Yeah, so I wanted to talk about that. There's a lot of areas in the town that residents don't have the ability to have their leaves picked up. You know, I was thinking maybe at least, obviously, this time of year in the fall, residents don't have the ability to have their leaves picked up. They either, A, they burn them, B, they throw them into their garbage bin, or C, they have to pay them and have them removed, and not everyone has an SUV. So Radisson right now, they have pickup, you know, so this would be only to residents, obviously, that don't already have this service. Radisson has it, residents in the village has this service. So I was thinking, why not have the residents outside of those areas, they go out and buy a brown bag, and once a year, we pick up their leaves. This does a couple different things. This will help alleviate all the leaves that are on the streets, that are in the culverts, and in the catch basins that we see on a yearly basis. So other towns offer this service. Why shouldn't the town of Lysander offer this service to their residents?
What's the cost associated with it, Jeff?
I'm not an accountant. What I would have to do is get with Dave. I would suspect, obviously, there would be a fee associated with it. My rough guesstimate number would be $20 per resident to have the service.
Oh, you would?
I would only, the only people in these districts, let's call them districts, right? So we'll take my neighborhood at its landing. Each of those houses would get $20, have to pay $20 for the service. Radisson, they'd be excluded from the service because they already have that in their HOA. The village, they'd be excluded as well because the village takes care of that for them.
Would the residents have to pay for this, or this sounds like they wouldn't have a choice? So the village, the residents that are excluded?
The residents that are excluded wouldn't pay for the service.
Right.
So what I would like to do is send out a mailer to these, like a seeker to these residents, see if that's what they want, yeah. Right? All the residents that I spoke to, more than half, they'll pay $30, up to $30 some residents. Mm-hmm. That's what they say, but you know, you really know. Some residents, you know, maybe $30 is too high. Maybe it's only going to cost $10, right? So.
And you're just thinking like one time a year?
One time a year, absolutely. Now, my thing is putting it in a brown bag so that way we don't have to buy another vehicles. The highway guy or whoever this person would be could just pick up the bag and throw it in the back of the truck, right?
So that was my next question is, would we be using the highway department to, it would be using the highway department?
We would have to, absolutely.
So, how do we establish the fee? So I get it, you want to use it kind of like a district, right? So you want to make a leaf brush pickup district. How do we come up with that $10, $20, or $30?
Well, we'd have to talk to Dave Raleigh, find out what it costs for manpower, right? Talk to Jerry as well too. How many days it's gonna take, how many hours, how many men it's gonna take, the vehicle costs. Obviously we want to make it where, you know, we don't give the service away, but we break even, right?
We could probably go to the village.
Yeah,
I mean, they do it. They got to have those numbers.
Yeah.
At least they'll know how long it takes them. And,
right,
you know,
absolutely. We can do it one of two ways. We can put in there maybe a sewer district. We call it a leave district. Who knows? And we tax the person at $20. So that way they pay it that way as opposed to, you know, leaving their bag out there and someone's not home and they're not going to pay their $20. That was one way. Another, I think, I mean, this is just my ideas. I think that we tax the person.
So.
Or the district, so to speak.
Right. So let's say if you formed a district, everyone in the district would be taxed.
Right. In that area. Correct.
Right. Right.
Just like a lighting district and sewer district.
And
so they wouldn't have an option not to be a part of the district.
Right.
Everybody would have to be a part.
Right.
Of
That's why you put out your feelers, you send a survey out and see if the majority of the people would like this.
Rather than, just from an accounting standpoint, rather than forming a new leaf and brush district. Maybe we could do this under drainage district. Most of these leaves end up, quite frankly, getting blown into swales and rear yard drainage areas anyway. So there would be a benefit to the drainage districts by doing something like this.
Well, what are people doing now? They're not dealing with their leaves?
I think most people, they're hauling over them, they're burning them, they're throwing in their dumpster, they're in the culverts, they're everywhere.
I mean, I know, like my house, I got some big maple trees in front of my house. Probably mow my, in the fall when leaves are falling, I'll mow my lawn 2-3 times a week and mulch them into my lawn. And I'm sure a lot of other people do the same thing. If you got a small lawn though, that's kind of tough to do. I got an acre lawn and some big trees, so they kind of blow all over the lawn. I mulch them with the mower and you know, becomes good compost for the spring. My lawn greens up really fast in the spring because of it. But if you don't have a big lawn, I can see where that would be problematic.
That's what I do with my lawn, and I have leaf pickup, but I mow them. But that's just because it's good for my lawn.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, but you know, a lot of people might have a lot more trees. They don't live in the village, too, right? So, you know, I have 3 maple trees on the side of my house. I can collect 7 max. You know, big garbage. You know, so
I've got trees.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of trees.
A lot of people that, you know, live in the village, they may not have that issue. So.
So you're talking about just the neighborhoods that exist, like you wouldn't be talking about the country road.
No.
Just the existing neighborhoods. And I guess that one question has to be asked is, if it's the highway department, what are those fellas and gals doing now? If they're not picking up leaves, are they doing something else?
I don't see anyone cleaning catch basins, do you?
What are the highway staff,
right,
and
what are they
being used for? I mean, this is not a one day operation. This will take days. And a lot of trucks, depending on how many bags of leaves get.
I thought about that too. I mean, we shut down the highway for how many, Jerry shut down the highway for how many weeks during COVID? 2-3 weeks?
Oh, more than that.
Six weeks.
Yeah,
and look,
6 to 8 weeks.
And they did everything that they said they were going to do. We're just asking for a couple days of their time. They shut down for 6 weeks and accomplished everything they had to do.
One of the ideas I had in the past that I brought to the board about this was putting some big roll-offs in neighborhoods, you know, roll-off dumpsters that people can deposit their yard waste in, you know, do it once or twice a year, have contract with a trash hauler to pick up the roll-off, take it to Okra, and dump it at the Okra site, because there wouldn't be any tipping fee as long as it's only yard waste. They wouldn't charge the town anything for doing that, because they just turn it into compost.
I like that idea better than, you know, taxing.
Well, there's a lot of concerns with that idea too. No one's going to just throw yard waste in there. Someone throws a mattress in there, then what?
Yeah.
And then if I drive 5 minutes,
right?
To
it's going to happen.
Mattresses. Then if I have to drive 5 minutes,
can't get rid of mattresses.
Oh,
to the dumpster.
I got a story.
How am I going to put it in there if I just have a car? How am I going to transport all my leaves? Why not just put it in your front yard at the road and have them pick it up?
I guess my concern with that though is we might be taxing people an additional fee that don't want the service.
Well, that's why we send out their feelers,
and
right?
And I'm okay with the feelers, yeah. But at the end of the day, the board's going to have to make the decision, and we have 3 people that want it, 2 people that don't. Majority wants it, but we're still telling 2 people in that district that, you know, we're doing it anyways.
Every other town offers this service. Why not us? How come we're not offering this? It's a huge issue that I see in Lysander with all these leaves on the road too. You know, driving, trying to stop when it's wet out and there's leaves on the road, causes accidents. You know, people are lazy. They blow their leaves right in the road. I see it all day long with their leaf blower. You know.
Does the village go door to door, or do they just?
Yeah.
They got the leaves on the curb.
Well, they you push them out to the curb and they come by with a big, it's almost like
a. That's what they do in Slime.
Although the
trash hauler picks up, if you leave them a bag with your trash, they take it, the trash hauler takes them anyway.
We're in Salina?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't.
They also, the highway also comes by and, you know, just pile your stuff on the curb. They come by with a blower and vacuum thing and suck them up.
No, the village has a good system. They got some big equipment they can buy, and it's a big, you know, like a pincher. It loads it, they dump it and load it, and off they go.
But if we did something like that, and you did it a couple of times during the fall, you can't do it every week, so you set days that it'll be leave pick up on such a day. It would be a little bit easier to figure out what it's going to cost, because you know.
And we might be able to work out some sort of intermunicipal agreement with the village. I don't know if they use that equipment all the time, if that's specific for just yard waste, but you know, maybe that's something we want to check with them, see if we could utilize some of their equipment. You know, I mean, you know, we could rent it from them, and then you know, go from there, and then they could probably give us some numbers on, you know, how long it takes them. They got a pretty good idea.
Yeah, so I would say, you know, we need a little more information. We need to know a definitive cost. One thing about the village that I will say is it also creates some issues. I don't know how often you have stuff picked up off your yard, but those machines do damage to your yard also, and I don't know how well people in the areas you're talking about are gonna handle.
I got a specific spot, do you know what I mean? Oh, yeah.
So their lawn, they're going to have this brown patch on their lawn because you can't put it in the road.
Right.
So there's going to be a patch where that machine's going to come through and scrape their turf off and dump that along. And Bob knows, I'm not kidding about it, right? That's what's going to happen. Yeah. But anyhow, so I guess I would get some definitive numbers and go from there. I don't think it's a terrible idea. I just think there's a little more work that's got
to
be done before we decide to put another tax on someone. And again, Roman's comment is also, you know, worth noting that there are going to be people who say no, and those people, if we force them to pay a tax that they don't want, so that someone shows up with a machine to scoop their turf off their lawn, you know, they're not going to be happy. So.
And if we do something where you force the people to pay, such as a district situation, you have to go through a public hearing and all that. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking a couple more weeks, there's going to be leaves on the ground. You're not going to have enough time this year.
Well,
no, not this year.
There's no time for this year.
No, there's no time to rush it this year. Next year, absolutely.
And which might also give us time to look into bidding it up.
Yeah.
See what somebody would charge to do what the village does. Or we use, or whatever costs us to use our own equipment, or to borrow from the village.
Well, the village uses their DPW.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, just this, you know, obviously it's being followed right now. Just, you know, I thought of it. So.
I was going to say, the village does it, I think, Tuesdays and Thursdays. It's Tuesday.
Wednesday. Mine's Wednesday. I don't know when yours is.
But it's once a week.
It's once a week in the spring and fall,
right.
And then throughout the summer, it's maybe once a month.
I thought they did it in the fall. I thought they did it 2 days a week, but I could be wrong.
I could be wrong, too, but I don't think so.
Yeah, I thought they did it 2 days a week.
I mean, it's Wednesday at my house.
Yeah.
They,
so, the other side
yeah,
of the
in the
river,
fall, they do it pretty
right.
regularly.
They do Mondays.
For a certain
right, so that may be 2 days
a
week, but not 2 days a week per resident.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
It
wouldn't be in
the summer
as well,
too, collecting. In the fall,
well, they do it year round. They do do it all, you know, spring, summer, and fall, but not like Pete said, not as much in the summer, but in the spring and fall when people
are
cutting things down. Because I put a lot of stuff out there. I've got branches falling all the time.
Yeah.
Good, I got a new dump spot now.
What'd you say?
I got a new dump spot now in the village.
Don't put it in mine.
We have some time to talk to. Both the village of Liverpool, I know when they come and do down Route 370, there's leaves all over the place, but they come and pick it up like at one time. They go through the whole thing, and that's it. They don't do it the rest of the summer, for the rest of the fall. And there's a lot to be done because there's so many leaves, because that's pretty tree lined when it goes to the village. So they get cluttered pretty good. But they only do it once, to my knowledge.
And then again, working with the highway department, is like, for more data, understanding how they're going to schedule that. If it were, you know, hypothetically, if we had something like that going on, how would they schedule that work being done if they're, you know, if they don't have time to do all the ditching that they have to do and all the catch bases and basins that they have to do, you know. Just, I would have all the, those ducks in order just to find out if it can be done.
Ash trees in the park.
Okay, so I met with Bob Drossi and Jeff before my budget, and one of the things in my budget this year is the removal of ash trees. So Bob Drossi approached me and asked me to come up with a tree study inventory and to reach out to Onondaga County Soil and Water and see what they did with Onondaga Lake Park and their plan. So I got a hold of them, and they came out on the 24th of September, and we basically put it into a five-year plan, rating the trees of one being taken down within the first year, and five being taken down within 5 years. And we just basically walked around the park and counted them. And what we came up with is that for 2021, there's about 40 trees in the park that can probably be taken down. 18 of them being in the front part of the park where we talked about grading that and making additional playing fields. So out of that 40, 18 would come down and we could do the grading work and expand the playing fields in front of the park along Smoky Hollow. For 2022, we counted about 77 trees that could probably take about 2 years. They still had some leaves, and they were showing signs of the ash borer. With that being said, 54 of them were located right around where the fire pit is at the park and along that parking lot area. And the diameter were about 12 to 20 inches around. So basically, they're manageable trees. They're not gonna cost us a whole bunch to take down. And then going around, we counted about 24 that were in good shape and had full leaves and good canopies on them. I GPS'd 7 trees that I felt were probably necessary to take down this year, if we can find money in this year's budget to do that. We've already taken down 7 already, but there's probably 7 more that need to come down because of their location and where they're located in the park for safety issues. I don't know if you guys saw my second email just from Purdue University, the dangers of dead ash trees in high traffic areas. They can become very dangerous. And these 7 trees, I feel, fit that criteria. So that's where we're at with ash trees. I don't know if we can do 40 in a budget year, but I know talking with Bob Drossi that this is a major problem and it's not gonna go away. So I just wanted to bring it to the board's attention what we got going on at the park with these ash trees.
So Tony, the 7 you're talking about, the GPS 7 trees, they're already dead.
Yes.
The 40 trees from 2021, they are also already dead?
No, they have been infected.
Okay.
So those trees are infected and probably should be taken down eventually in the near future. And I'm giving them probably 1 year, and we gotta look at taking them down.
Okay.
How do you come up with that 1 year number?
I talked with Soil Water, yeah. And she's the one that put the plan together with.
I just wanted you to say that, yeah.
So the trees in the front, how big are they in diameter?
I didn't measure those. Those
about, into the, are they 12 inches, 20 inches, about
they,
that big?
They vary, yeah.
So when you're saying you need money to take them down, we don't have anybody that can cut a 20-inch tree down there? Any of the laborers? I mean, isn't that part of some of the things that we do, either with the highway does it, and... But
I think anything, the highway, anything that's much more than 12 inches, they farm out. It becomes a safety issue once they get to a certain size. It's a skilled labor task, not general labor, typically.
And I talked to Dale Reynolds, who runs Onondaga Lake Park, and he echoed the same thing. He said Yeah, the park, to your point, Bob, the parks crew in Onondaga County Parks took down, you know, whether it was 12 or 10 or 11 inches in diameter, but nothing bigger than that. You know, the tree was stable, they could take it down. It didn't have big limbs. I think one of the, we were talking before this meeting started, one of the peculiar things about the emerald ash borer and these bigger ash trees is that it really weakens the big limbs that are on the top. They look fine. You could be standing under there with, and vibrating that tree with that chainsaw, and all of a sudden you've got, you know, a 1,000-pound limb hitting you on the head, which is why you normally contract out. They're taking them down. And they don't normally cut them down at the base. They usually come in with a boom truck for safety reasons. And it gets, it's expensive, but that's what Onondaga County ended up doing. Not just in Onondaga Lake Park, that happened to be where most of them were, but they did it all over the county.
So if we have 77 trees that are roughly around 12 inches to 20 inches, right? Majority of them, I would assume, are 12 inches?
Yes.
Why wouldn't we get ahead of the game and get those removed by your laborers before we have to pay for skilled labor?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I like Bob said, it depends on how badly they're affected.
Well, if we know they have to get it down, why not do it now and not pay an arm and a leg for it?
Like Bob just said, the hazard is that the tree can look relatively fine and relatively healthy, but the emerald ash borer has affected one branch more than another, and the next thing you know, you got a large branch falling out of the tree when you got a guy cutting it down. I mean, it really is a safety issue. It is a skilled labor thing that...
Even for 12 inches, like...
Yeah, I think there is a hazard there. I mean, I would be hesitant to put our employees in that position from a workers' compensation liability standpoint. I don't know how you feel about it, Bob, but... I mean, yeah, if you got small, I mean, I don't think our highway guys even attempt to take down stuff that's much more than 12 inches. I know Jerry was just getting quotes today to take a couple down that were in the Willow Parkway right away that were about 12 inches in diameter. So, and I think it's a skilled labor thing that it really is a safety issue if you're not trained in doing it. And you got a tree that's diseased, you don't want to be... you know, whacking at it with a chainsaw at the base. You take it down with a boom truck and ropes, and is the safest way to bring them down.
So we're basically addressing two issues. To Jeff's point, which I think is a legitimate one, and again, Onondaga County did this. They used their own staff, but we can do that. We should do that, Tony. We should cut as many trees down as we can with our own staff that we feel, you know, that's an 8-inch tree. It's perfectly alive. Let's just take it down today, because 3 years from now it'll be dead and right. Bigger. But while we're doing that, we've got 7 trees right now that need to be taken down before the end of this year, and we need to contract that out, and we've got a whole bunch more until 2021. And this is not going to be a small number.
How tall are the trees?
I don't know.
Oh, that one like right at the entrance of the park there, that, you know, at the end of the driveway there?
Yes.
That's a 40-foot high tree, you know.
And that's one of the 7.
And that has to come down like yesterday. I mean, that's a dangerous tree.
Say, those ones around the fire pit are, a lot of those are all of 50 feet, if not 60.
Yeah.
They're tall trees. They're not.
Yeah, but those aren't the 12-inch ones, though.
The fire pit ones, yes.
Yeah. They're tall, skinny, like, you know, old. You know, they're tall, skinny trees. They're
tall home poles.
Yeah, they're that size tree, you know, not a big canopy on them.
So, I too agree with Jeff. If we know that we have, I mean, and Bob, actually, you know that we have a certain amount that need to come down. They're already dead. They're hazardous. They have to come down. But going in there and taking some of them out while they're younger and still healthy with our own crews, I don't know how busy your staff is. So again, it's just like the highway department picking up leaves. I don't know how busy your staff is or if you have the wherewithal to do that, but I don't think that's a bad idea to take them down. Take the smaller ones down ourselves, so we're not paying whatever the estimate is that the highway department got for the trees they want down, or whatever we're going to get nailed for these 7 trees that we need to take down.
I mean, obviously, if they don't have the skill to do it, we're not going to have them do it.
Right.
I question the skill.
The only thing that I'd say, you know, there, when we have laborers in the park, what do the laborers do? I mean, what can they do? And I'm not being facetious by that, but like it seems like a lot of times.
Hold on a second.
Seems like the things that they do are mow lawns and you know, paint a couple of things, and but you know, some of this other stuff maybe we ought to think about in the future if we're going to be hiring people, whether it's in the highway or in the parks. Maybe we need some other skilled labor that we can call something other than a laborer, because in my mind, laborers, I mean, if you look at a laborer on a construction site, they do a lot. Laborers are almost skilled labor. They're skilled laborers. That's why when I ask you, you know, could you cut it down? So, you know, we should identify what they can do, what go through and identify what your park personnel has the capability of doing, identify all that, as well as with the highway, it's kind of specific, but with the parks, and then maybe we got to look at in the future, as we as positions come open or we fill these positions, hiring people that are more skilled in a wider range of areas.
Well,
so
Bob, you're exactly right, Bob. I can't say it any better than you. And a good example of that, this is true. I mean, Highland Forest, one of Onondaga County parks. Every one of those laborers was a woodsman. They had a sawmill up at that park. It's not operating anymore, but they used to cut down all the trees and provide wood for the rest of the county park system. Those were just park laborers. Mm-hmm. So to Bob's point, when you're out,
the county also does training for that stuff too.
So send them to training.
Right. We're not saying we can't train them.
But the point here is hire the best you can get when you go to hire people. Whatever we got going now, if you're saying to us that you don't have a person that can pick up a chainsaw, I'm going to say, well, that's really too bad, but I'm not going to force them to do something that they can't do.
Well, I don't think Tony's in any way, shape, or form saying that they can't pick up a chainsaw. I think Tony's fear is them taking down trees that become a dangerous situation.
I don't think that's what he was saying. I'm saying they can't pick up a chainsaw and cut it down.
No, I've seen his guys use a chainsaw. That's not an issue. His guys can use a chainsaw. But I don't think that somebody without skilled training and dropping 40-foot trees should be trying to drop 40-foot trees.
Half-dead trees.
And half-dead trees, you really shouldn't be dropping that way anyway. The safest way to take those down is with a bucket truck and you rope them down the branches.
Can I make a proposal? I mean, it's October of 2020. I don't know what you're going to do about this, Bob, or what the board's going to do about it, but we need to find the money to take down, it looks like, 7 trees before the end of the year. And we got plenty of time between now and the next when the budget 2021 comes around. See what kind of trees you can cut down. Come back to us and say, guys, this is what I was able to do in the last 2 months or 3 months of the year. And actually, you're approaching the time of year where cutting wood is really easy. I mean, the leaves are off the trees. So just come back to us with a plan. And here's what's left, guys. And you know, your 2021, we were able to knock off 20 of those trees. Whatever. But we got to take. I hope we're at a point where we can make a decision budgetarily how we're going to pay for taking down 7 trees. And I have no idea what that's going to cost.
And nobody's saying somebody should do something that they're not skilled
right.
for. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, you know, if we know that we need these type of skills with our laborers, maybe we ought to look in the future to, you know, bring people in that have some of these skills. Let's start identifying some of the skills that we need for people working in the park, working in the highway, so that when these things come up, we don't have to outsource it. I mean, obviously, you're not going to take down I got one in my yard, it's 80 foot, although when I was 21, I did take that tree down like that, which was one of the dumbest things I ever did. But I'm not suggesting I do that. But like Bob said, let's go in there, you got 40 trees. I mean, I've taken down, you know, 12, 15 foot trees. You know, if they're only 8, 10 inches, that's pretty easy. I mean, someone in their backyard can do it. So that's what I'm saying. I mean, if it's something that they can do safely, let's come up with that number. Let's look at the other ones. You're saying, okay, you can't do these. Let's have a number. I mean, what's the number? We don't even know what the number is. And I can tell you right now, this budget is ugly. This is going to be an ugly budget. So when you're looking at doing these things, you're gonna be looking to cut something in the park. I could tell you right now, because there's no money there. The money just isn't there. And I don't think right now, unless, you know, unless it's a total, if it's a disaster, we gotta take care of it. But things that, things like this, that probably should have had a plan in the past. I'm not throwing out any stones, but I mean, that's why we need a plan moving forward. Take a look at, you know, do all 40 need to be done next year? You know, do 10 need to be done? Do 5 need to be done? You know, you're saying the 7 need to be done this year? Okay, if they need to be done, they need to be done.
That's all the inventory was. It's just a recommendation to the board to let you know, put you on notice that in the soil and water, there's about 40 trees that need to come down in 2021.
Right, but out of those 40, when is it critical mass? Is it next year critical mass for all 40? Is it next year?
That's up to you guys.
No, 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 it's not us. You got to come to us, and you're in the park. You're saying this needs to be done, so you need to get more information and tell us when do we need to budget for it? Because we're not going to budget for all 40 next year unless we had to do it. If it's, you're telling me they're going to, you know, people are going to walk under them and get hit in the head with a tree, well, of course we're going to do it. I don't think that's what you're saying, are you?
I think no. He is. I mean, that's what soil and water, when I met with her, was it Teresa, right?
It was Teresa.
She was saying, the first year you've got to identify trees that are so critically bad that you've got to take them down. It sounds like you came up with her.
We came up with 40
trees. Now, maybe it's 38, maybe it's 33, I don't know, but we ought to, I think, from my vantage, only because it's a safety liability issue, we've got a budget for 40 trees. I think it's a town problem. We'll cross that. We'll cross that bridge when we're doing budget deliberations. Maybe he has to cut something out of his budget. Maybe we got to find money in the contingency budget. But this is a once in a lifetime emergency, to the point where in 2020, right now, if you don't have the money in your budget, if you need a resolution by me tonight, I'll vote for taking it out of contingency, out of the fund balance to do this.
I can tell you right now, I'm not prepared to do that. I need some more information from my perspective. I need some more information to say, you know, first of all, how much are those 7 trees going to cost?
I don't know, but in my budget when I met with tree managers, it was for 5 trees was $3,000, taking down the trees, stump grinding, and the cleanup.
That's for 5 trees?
For 5 trees.
Okay. But were they the same size or?
Approximately.
Right. When did you get that quote roughly, Tony?
That was this year for this year's budget.
A couple months ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, for this year's budget. So well, in my budget that I show that I have like, I don't know, like 15 trees for $9,000 in my budget. That's how I came up with that number.
So if you're talking 5 trees for $5,000, or $3,000, so you're talking 8 times that. So you're talking 40,000 or 20. You got 40 trees. So you got 8. That $24,000 that you're talking just for trees.
Just for
next
trees.
Year.
I wish there was. How much is in a loan parks fund? Because we could use some of that money because it's going to be made out of field space.
Well, Dave isn't here, so.
For the
you got any idea?
Absolutely.
Yeah, Dave should be here. Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure there's money left in that Lua Parks fund. So those 7.
Can we leave here tonight with a commitment that we'll take care of the 7 trees for this year, one way or the other?
And I'll get you an exact number.
It'll require a budget transfer, but Tony's definitely has money in this year's budget that he can transfer to do that.
And I'm fine with taking it out of the Parks Department's budget. They just need to come down. I mean, that's...
If you're saying they're a safety hazard, I mean, we got to do something.
We got to do it.
Yeah, we got to do something. But what we need to do is what you need to do and get back with the soil and water is to determine, I mean, we got 40 for next year. Well, how many for the following year? I mean, these things this just didn't happen overnight. So we need to, you know, what are the things in the park moving forward do we have to have long-range planning for? Because we shouldn't have to in the fall budget for, you know, when we're sitting down within 3 weeks, 4 weeks, come up with a budget for next year because it's critical mass. I mean, that's just not something that we should be doing. And that actually falls on you.
But
you know,
this did hit us to basically this year. I mean, we were talking about in the previous budget, 2019, of planting trees and getting trees ahead of this, and looking at the possibility of taking trees down. This is the first year that it's just, it is showing the effects of the ash borer.
Right, but you, but is this the first year that you knew that these trees had a problem, that they were diseased?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's true. I mean, I've looked at the park for years, and I've noticed that, I knew it was all white ash, but not a one of them was in trouble. And this is the year they got in trouble. And you know, the analogy here is what Onondaga County did. This is exactly analogous to what happened in Onondaga County, which was the problem was recognized, the trees began to die. The responsibility did not fall on the Parks Department to solve the problem. It fell on the Onondaga County Legislature to solve the problem, and they did. And we'll work together. You know, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, but as you know, they got a much, I mean, you look at their budget as $1.1 billion.
And they spent several hundred thousand dollars on taking the ash trees down. We're probably talking in the neighborhood of 50 or 60. And if Tony does a good job of cutting a bunch of them down over the next few months, we might have to spend even less. I just want to feel comfortable leaving here tonight that you're going to take care of taking seven down before the end of this month. Just get them out of the park, and then we'll deal with the rest when it comes to budget time. I don't think we can do it. I mean, you drive under that tree, so a branch can hit your car as you're driving out of the park.
Well,
that's
how
scary these
cars. How can I argue with that? I mean, well, I'm not. If they have to come down, they have to come down. You know, so
take a look
out of the seven, see if there's any, you know, if we can get down to five, then we know that's around $3,000. Maybe you can take a couple of them down safely. If you can't, you can't. Then get us a number, let us know what it is, and then we got to get a couple of quotes anyway, so and find out when their availability is.
You know, and let's find out if we can use in lieu of park money. I mean, that's not a bad idea. It's really nice to do positive things with that.
Oh, it's still positive, though, because it's field space. Yeah.
Okay,
so,
there you go.
Yeah.
So one way or the other, we've got to...
And it's safety related.
Right.
I mean,
so can we leave here today? Like, can we work together and get it done? You know? Or... You know.
I thought you were the parks guy. Yeah, I'm in every day, so... We're working.
Yeah, let me know. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean,
we have to get those seven down.
Yeah, if you got to get them down, you got to get them down. I'm not arguing with that.
No, I'm not saying.
I'm just what I'm saying is, you know, especially in the parks, let's try to get ahead of these things so that not just with trees. Okay, I mean, I'm not a tree expert. I don't know. You know, if I see a woodpecker up there chopping it down, I know it needs to come down, but I wouldn't know when it comes down. But maybe we need somebody to go through, you know, especially with buildings, you know? I mean, what are the maintenance? I haven't seen, and maybe there is, a long-range plan for replacing different things in there. That's what we have to do moving forward, because this budget, at least for this year and next year, is gonna be really bad. It's not gonna be good, and it could be bad going a couple of years down the road. So we need to do some strategic long-range planning and get ahead of all of this stuff so that you know, we don't have a crisis coming up that we have to deal with.
Gotcha. That's why we're kind of doing this now.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, anybody else have a problem with that, with the trees?
No.
Okay.
I know we've got one more thing on the work session. Are we going to pick dates talk about the budget, or are we going to...
It's on the... It's here on the agenda.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Number seven.
Yeah, we're going to have to come up...
Oh, it's on the agenda.
We'll have to come up with dates and so that we can open it up to the public and work on some things. I think some of the departments are pretty easy. Like, I think the clerk's office is pretty easy. I think codes and stuff, but... What I'd like to do is parks, obviously. Parks and highway are the two biggest budgets. So I think we need to, you know, set that aside where the most amount of people that can attend those meetings can come in and we go through them. Because we're going to have to make, you know, that budget that you have has a 0% increase. Now there's other things like we have to replace the phones. Correct, Jeff? The phones we have to replace, and we got a little bit of time. You want to talk about the phones?
Yeah, so The phones, obviously, you know, talk with Al, you know, we gotta replace the phone system, so this is what I do for a living. I reached out to a couple competitors of mine because I can't choose my competitor or my company because it's conflict of interest. Got some quotes on VoIP systems, right? Voice over IP. Where, right here, I got one and I can share this with you guys later. Replacing what we have. Now I gotta do a better inventory of the phones, actually the judges, I don't know if they need voicemail or not, but there's different features and functionalities of these phones that people may or may not need. And that reflects the price as well too, right? So roughly buying the phones, one time cost for the town after rebates would be $468, and that includes that includes 8 phones of the basics and then 19 of the phones. So 27 phones would cost the town one time purchase of $468. And then after we get a better idea, because I think I threw some judges in there with voicemail. So all these phones, and I'll talk about the features and functionalities later, but it'd be $484 a month.
$484 a month,
right?
That'd be good.
So these phones, different features, voicemail, the email that they have, some of these seats, they call them seats because some seats, they're basic license and advanced license, right? They come with Zoom as well too, so you can do video conferencing as well. You could do share screen as well. So you're talking to someone and hey, you want to see what's on my screen? Boom, you click a button, now they're viewing your screen as well too. Then they also have the camera features where you can show and you could talk. You could chat to someone. So instead of picking someone up on the phone, you can chat back and forth to each other as well.
So you're not making a presentation tonight?
No, I'm just telling you. I got another quote from another provider. It was a lot more money, so.
We'll talk about that during.
We'll talk about that.
Well, one thing you probably should mention, Jeff, is why. Why we need to replace the phones.
We have a 1980 phone system right now.
Well, I understand that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think
we have a 1980 phone system right now with not a lot of features and functionalities, and it's end of life. There's no parts for it. So if it goes, it dies, right?
And we're having
that. The NEC does not manufacture new components for our phone system. Last year we had a voicemail card and our phone system go down. The only reason we were able to get voicemail back was because our vendor had a new old stock one on a shelf that they could put in for us.
Okay.
But he said, this is the last voicemail card I have for this phone system. If this goes down again, you will lose voicemail capability.
For everybody?
Everybody.
Yep.
In the building.
And as I said, I was aware of it. I just think people who are listening to our work session and everybody else should know.
Especially with that COVID-19 hotline that we set up, instead of driving here every day, twice a day setting it up, you could do it right from your home as well, which is nice. So in case there is a disaster, because everything is cloud, there's no on-prem equipment here, which is called the PBX. So there's disaster recovery in there. And then, for example, if things close and you got to forward your number, you can just get on the URL, forward the number right there automatically from your house or your smartphone.
And we were in a similar situation a year ago or a year and a half ago with our entire computer system. It was the same problem.
Yeah.
It was the exact same problem.
But these are things that aren't in that in the budget because we didn't have the numbers. So, but that's something that we're going to have to find.
And I'm waiting on one
find
more
money
from our current provider.
Yeah.
He's going to provide us.
I got a SIP and I got a host quote from him today as well.
Yeah.
Very similar number to what you provided. I also spoke with Hughes Tech today.
That's what I was going to talk about. I tried to find if they do that, that would be better.
The
right?
Google or Microsoft
Teams.
Yeah. It sounds like $9 a seat.
It's there's no physical phone.
No, he said you can put it for the. You can't agree.
It's a lot different. We'll talk about it later.
Okay.
But it would be nice.
Actually, I had him come in. He was going to stop by on Monday to just do a little product demo for Bob and I to show us how it did work. So
I think he should be involved more than me.
I
pick up the phone and say hello.
I think it's just he wants to show us what.
That's what I do.
Google Teams.
Because I would like to
say, Cindy Clark, are you on there?
Because it touches the network, right? So it's a central joke in case there's an issue. So that way you're not competing with different vendors saying, oh, it's the wrong guy.
Well, yeah, as far as if you go to a Microsoft system, you're saying, yeah.
Well, no, it's an Android system.
I must be hitting the wrong one, as I said.
And they manage the network.
Yeah.
It's nice to have one.
Sure,
oh, absolutely, yeah.
Because I would say it's the computer guy, no, it's the phone guy, and then you...
Another thing that Qstech said is a lot of their clients use Northland Communications.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with them, but
yeah, they're over in East Syracuse. Yeah.
He said he was going to forward me a contact over there to talk to them about what they offer as well. Can we go on to Seneca States real quick?
Yeah. I'm just going to grab my phone, but I...
Okay. Seneca Estates Drainage District, we've got some 48-inch culvert that needs to be replaced. Jerry did the culvert under Mariner Trail last year, but he only put in 80 feet of pipe. We've got about 360 feet left to go. Jerry thought he would be able to get to it this year. He doesn't feel that he has the time to get to it this year. Trolley said that they can do it in 5 days. We have just enough money in the drainage district to do it. The cost of the pipe is about $18,000. We're looking at a little over $26,000 for Tiroli, and we have $46,000 in the account. So, quite frankly, we've had an open excavation with a piece of construction fence around it for a year now, in somebody's yard. We got to get this buttoned up. We can't let this go through another winter. Jerry doesn't have the time to do it, so we need a contractor. I mean, that's just where we're at. It's
how much would we have saved if Jerry did?
Well,
he's got to charge us anyway.
Yeah, probably $12,000.
Would have saved.
Yeah, that's a ballpark. I mean, I don't really know without.
Doesn't sound good for the leaf pickup.
What's that?
Doesn't sound good for the leaf pickup. Jerry can't do that.
You see, it's on the agenda. If anybody's got any questions, let me know. We will have to do some lawn restoration in the spring, and we will do that. We have funds for the 2021 range.
Thank you, Al. I do.
Are we voting on that tonight?
It is on the agenda to begin, yes.
Yeah, we're done.
Yep.
Okay. Thanks. Stay on.